Hello and welcome to The Fast Podcast, a place where we aim to break down stigmas around mental health one conversation at a time. I'm G Atkinson and each episode I'll be joined by a special guest. We'll tell stories, ask questions and speak openly about the experiences we've had. We're the Fast Movement and together we're fighting against suicidal thoughts. Hello and welcome to the Fast Podcast, the first podcast of 2020. I'm very excited because today I'm joined by Zoe. Zoe is a tattoo artist and I'll hand you over to her to say hello and introduce herself.
Hello.
Hi Zoe, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, no, thank you for inviting me. It's really exciting. So I started trying to be a tattooer. Started my whole process a few years ago. And I now currently work in Warrington Town Centre. Yeah, it's like you do when you're in school. It's like, oh, we're going to go around a circle, tell us a bit about yourself.
And then just like, all of a sudden you forget who you're.
My name's Zoe, and I've got a dog. Literally.
So how long have you been officially tattooing now?
So I got my licence last August. Not the one just gone on before. So I've been tattooing for a year and a little bit. So... the process is always a lot longer though. So when I first wanted to like maybe go into this career, because I'd always thought about it, I'd always thought this is something that I'd be into doing, but I always had the whole self-doubt thing that was like, nah, you'd never be able to do this, you know, there's no point trying. I started actually actively doing something about it in 2017, like the end of 2016. Oh, okay. Beginning of 2017, and I was getting like portfolios together and stuff and like getting all my artwork and actually focusing on doing it. Like I always felt really embarrassed to say to people, hey, I really want to be a tattooer, and you know what I mean?
Like telling people, for what reason, like, was it embarrassment?
Oh, I don't know. Like I remember even starting my Instagram, because I did that at the beginning because I thought this would be really cool. I did the whole cool username so no one would know it was me. And then I remember when I finally was like, ooh, maybe I'll tell my friends about it. I was like, yeah, like embarrassed almost, because it sounds like something wild to just proclaim. Like, oh yeah, I want to be a tattooer. And it sounds almost as if it's one of those pipe dream things that you say that you want to do and then no one really expects you to actually do it.
So was that almost in your own head that you... were potentially embarrassed in case you never got to that goal? Like, was it still this thing in your head that you were like, I might not actually ever get there? Or did you know at that time, yeah, I'm gonna definitely do it?
I had like nothing to lose, and I still go by that mantra. I've got nothing to lose, so I need to push forward and do whatever I can to carry on doing what I want to do. But I think it was more because my art is so personal. Like a lot of it, like it's based on my moods, it's based on like things that have happened, and like I am a very emotional like drawer, if that makes sense. Like a lot of my art, yeah, is really personal and close to me. So I remember when I first started posting everything, I was really scared that, you know, like people would maybe think, oh, this is like weird, or do you know what I mean?
I suppose it's hard, like, to explain. Posting an entry of your journal or an entry of your diary, because if that's like you're emotionally connected to your artwork and it's you know, it's coming from a personal thing, then yeah, it's
the best stuff. I was always told, because when I did like art and GCSE and stuff, I was always told like the best stuff that I was producing and creating was when I was feeling something, and usually it would be like a sad emotion or something like that. Like all of my best pieces seem to come from every time I was down about something.
That's interesting.
I know, I kind of,
but I suppose I hate that's it at the such same time. A big emotion. When you feel down, you kind of, it takes over your whole body, doesn't it? So
yeah, for sure.
To be able to, for you to use art as a way to express yourself and get that out, do you think that that helped you potentially not let that sadness become something bad? It was then turned around into a positive?
Yeah, I'd say so, because like I was happy when something was well received. So I remember the moodiest, in inverted commas, the moodiest piece I ever actually did. It was GCSE art, and I had Miss Lambrinati's. You didn't go Bridgewater, did you?
I did not.
For some reason, I imagine that you did. He was a really, strange teacher. Well, to other people, he was very strange, or whatever, like, quite eccentric. but I absolutely loved him. Like, I still email him now, like, sometimes, like, oh, how's it going?
That's so nice.
He was, like, such a good teacher to me, like, really believed in my work, and even my handwriting, like, I've got the worst handwriting ever. He'd be like, it's like, oh, it's beautiful, and I'd be like, oh, I can feel good about this. I remember I did a really, again, inverted commas, moody piece of artwork. It was all, like, this black portrait thing, and then, like, it just had bits of red paint, like, splashed on it. Like, I remember being in class and everyone being like, whoa, Zoe, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? And I was like, just doing it. Just go with it. It's gonna work. Just put it together. It's gonna work. And then I remember when everything was on display, like, I remember a few comments here and there, like, oh, we can always tell which pieces are your pieces, Zoe, because they're all black, or just, like, stuff like that. And you think, oh, sure. But then I remember the head teacher saying to me, wow, this is, like, my favourite piece. I've not seen a piece like this dramatic in a while. And I was just like, oh, my God, it's the head teacher's favourite piece. Because, like, I've never been academic or, like, particularly good at anything. Like, so that was, like, really nice. I remember being like, oh, that was cool. So I think it definitely helps sometimes being, like, an emotional, like, painter or whatever. Because it really helps me, like, make something good, because it's almost effortless. Like, yeah. I'm not really trying, I'm just doing it because it, you know, it might be making me feel a bit better.
So but, do you, yeah. When you first started...
My original point was.
No, it's not. And it's interesting because I think that's a beautiful thing about being a creative, because whether it's writing music, like writing songs, you know, poetry, drawing, designing, making pom-poms, whatever, knitting, etc. It's to have a craft that takes you away from, like, switches you off from the rest of the world and allows you to put emotion into a piece of work or a physical thing, or, you know, putting your energy into that. It's such an amazing feeling and such a good thing to have. And I think, it's just nice to hear, like, the different conversations I've had with different people when they say that they're emotional about something, that's almost when the best work comes out.
Yeah, I think that's definitely right with me. Like, or even, yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, like, I've never been someone that can work on demand. Like, I can't really, like, I don't know. I know when I have something to do, like, oh, I've got this appointment, I really need to draw for it, like, today, really, because I've got time to. But I could draw something and it could be absolute shit, or... Oh, can I swear?
Yeah, go for it. I was really scared. Everyone always says that, I'm like, honestly, go for it.
I would draw something because I have to and it'd be complete shit, but then I could do it like in a few hours time or something, or when I'm like properly settled, or because like I don't really go to bed early or anything. If like it could be later on in the evening, I could do something completely different and it's so much better. And it's like you don't think about the difference of how it's going to affect your work, like just not being in that right, like, creative mindset.
Honestly, I understand that completely. I think if you ever have to force your craft or force yourself to do something, then you're not in that creative flow. And it's like we were saying, if something emotional has happened to you, that's the time to put yourself into your work. And so do you find that hard as a tattoo artist if you are not in that creative flow and you know that you have to create a piece of work? Does it frustrate you, or what emotions do you
I've
go
gotten
through?
A lot better at it now, like, because it is my job. Like, I've gotten a lot better at thinking of different ideas because it's a bit more technical now. It's not like again, it's not just, oh, I've got this X amount of time to do something. It's more as in, I've got to think about the technicalities of actually making this piece. So I've got to think about, like, oh, what needle groupings would I use, and like would this look good shaded here? And I've got to think about it more as a tattoo and not an art piece. So whenever I drew, I'm quite a sketchy drawer. Like, I've never been very good at, like, fine line stuff. But obviously, when, say, if you're making a stencil for a tattoo, it's got to be pretty precise. You can't, like, sketch it out. It's got to be, like, bang on something you can follow the line work to, because it's completely different if you were just drawing for you, for example.
There's no rubbers on skins either.
Exactly. So it's got to be something that you can, you know, is technically going to work and it's going to look good, or, like, it depends on that placement. There's so much stuff to it that you wouldn't even have thought about, like, that everybody puts into it. So whenever you think of, like, I don't know, like a tattooer, say if you give them like a really elaborate description of something that you want to do, and we say, oh, it's not going to work, you think, well, why not? Why is it not going to work? It's like, well, because there's so many things that we think about that you don't like understand, and that's fine, because we don't expect anybody to think of it like that or like to understand it, because that's our jobs too. But there's so much more that goes into it that you need to think about, and again, like placements, what needles, like what's going to flow with your other work. There's so much stuff. I've gotten better at like switching the creativity on. I've gotten better at that because I have to be. So that's really good. But I've noticed when I'm drawing for me, or when I'm drawing ideas that I want to do, it's a lot better when it's like me doing it in my own time, or when I've got the time to do it. Like when I have to do something, like for example, at the moment I've really got to draw up some designs for stickers and stuff, trying to get them like made. I'm struggling doing that because I keep thinking like, oh God, what am I gonna use to like promote me to the world and all this.
Especially when you've got like such a massive portfolio, I bet it's hard to pinpoint right what exact designs or what exact message do I want to say.
Like, what do I want to put out there? What do I want to be my introduction to me? Like, it's so hard. Like, I don't know. I don't know what is my staple. I've not really got one. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. I probably do. But
you'll probably go home later and be like, right, creativity is on. Let's get these stickers done.
I hope so. I've been putting it off for such a long time, but then it can take up to 4 weeks to make and get sent to you. And I'm like, shit, I don't have that time. I need to get it done like now. So
going back onto the tattoo side of things, what was it like when you did your first tattoo for somebody? And was it somebody that you knew? I'm presuming, was it somebody that kind of...
I was shaking like a shitting dog. Like, I was so scared. Like, my, honest to God, my hands were just going like...
Gosh, I feel like that's the worst combination. When
but it's so different. You can do it on like latex, like the fake latex you can buy, and it's completely different to actually do it on somebody. It is a massive confidence thing, but I think everybody's first tattoo is like absolute shit, and that's fine because no one's gonna be amazing first time.
Yeah.
So my again, inverted commas, apprenticeship was quite different to the traditional one that most people would have. I worked in this shop that was run by a really grim guy, not like a good tattoo you'd look up to or anything. And he didn't really teach me much, so I'm still sort of like picking things up from other artists and stuff now, and like teaching myself and whatever. I'm still sort of like, that's why I would never call myself like a fully qualified, like I've still got so much stuff to learn, and I think everyone's like that too. Like, you'd learn everything, like something with every tattoo you do, you learn something new. So the guy that I did my first ever tattoo on was that guy that run the shop. So I don't feel bad that it was complete shit. I don't feel bad about it. I did fix it later on. Like, I went over the lines and stuff again. But like, he had like a leg full of apprentice tattoos, and he was like pretty okay that they were all like awful, so it's not that bad. I've got no bad feelings about it, no regrets.
That's so funny. I feel like he must have had to decide at one point in his career, right, yeah, I'm gonna get apprentices in and they're gonna have to tattoo my legs.
Yeah, or like they're gonna have to practice somehow. Whereas now, if I look back, my first tattoo should have been on me. Like, I like, I've acquired opinions and stuff, like the more I've learned through tattooing. And I always think, like, if it were me, like, going back, I always wish I had that traditional apprenticeship where it was, like, really hard. And because there's a whole massive thing with it. Like, it's almost like carrying the torch and, like, having it passed down through generations. Because it's been going on for, like, thousands of years, tattoo. And it's developed more in, like, the style of, like, you would train for, like, 5 years as an apprentice first before you'd even, like... Well, a certain X amount of years, not necessarily five, but it'd be like a really long haul apprenticeship thing, where you would learn as much as you could and then you'd like sort of be set free almost. People always describe it, like if you, because I listen to podcasts and stuff all the time about people's experiences, it's like, it sounds like it's the worst thing ever, like where you'll be cleaning for 2 years before you even look at a machine. like you have to go through certain steps before you even even think about tattooing somebody or whatever. Like back when we used to have to make our own needles and mix our own inks and stuff, now everything's quite accessible, so that's really good. Like, because times have changed, but I always think to myself, I wish I had that traditional one where I was made to clean absolutely everything. Like, obviously, I clean absolutely everything now, but, like, I just wish that it was a bit more like that so I could have everything drilled and, like, where I wouldn't be. Because there's some times where I think, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, or, like, I really wish I had that extra person to help me right now or whatever.
So you've almost had to learn on the job, but yeah, whilst doing the job
I've
rather
learned
than...
the hard way, which I would not recommend to anybody. I wouldn't recommend to anybody to teach themselves or to try and pick it up. Like, don't ever do it in your kitchen. Like, I never did that. Mine was always in a studio setting, but, like, don't ever try and take it home with you. You need to find yourself a shop. You need to get yourself, like, with other tattooers. You need to learn and, like, absorb everything you can from, like, your team. And I always think, I wish I had that, like, so much. But obviously, you know, times change and stuff, and you've got to move with what's going on around you, so...
Definitely.
I think that's... Again, I keep forgetting the original point of the question to tie it back into.
Honestly, this is a beautiful thing about rambling. It's absolutely fine.
I do it all the time.
This is the story of my life. We love a good ramble.
Mm-hmm.
So, going back to the apprentice side of things then, so when did you start your apprentice and what was the reason that you started your apprentice? Like, did you go so you went to uni, did you originally?
Yeah, the process that I had, so I always loved music and art. So in high school, art was my main thing and I loved it. I did still do like some music aspects in high school, but not really as in-depth as I went into in college. So when I was sort of choosing colleges for it, it was either my sixth form, which would have been great for art if I'd have carried on that route, or it, like Priestley would have been the music side. So I chose to go to Priestley College, where I dropped out of art. I dropped out of art like after the first year and I got a C. So I didn't do that well, just scraped a pass, to be honest. And I focused entirely on music, and I was like dead certain, this is what I want to do, and like I'm really happy with this. And then I sort of did that for a few years, because I had to do like an extra year at college because the course I wanted to get onto, which was BTEC, they had already filled up for my year, so then I had to like wait and then do the full 2 years with the year below me. So that was amazing because I met so many interesting people that were like completely different to me, and it was also really good as well because I was a little bit older like that 1 year and they were all like, oh, she's so smart, she's older. So I was like,
she's
yes,
so wise.
I am a wise elder, respect me. So that was like really good. Again, I met loads of great people there, and we played in bands together and stuff, and that was what I was like dead set, like, I love this makes me so happy and I love doing this. Which, again, another creative outlet. I've never been academic at anything, really. I've enjoyed, like, poetry and stuff, but it's just not really my thing. So then after doing music and, like, getting a decent mark enough to go on to uni, I went to Salford Uni, and I did 1 year there, but I had a bit of a rough time in my, like, life at the moment, like loads of, it was like one thing after the other that just kept happening, and then I wasn't really turning up much, and then I just remember thinking like, God, I'm so shit. Like, I'm so shit at music, like I'm not like comfortable, and I couldn't believe the shift from college to uni. I couldn't believe that it was like, it was really intense because everything was theory based, and I was probably like a grade 2-3 at the most. You've got to be like grade 5. And theory side of music is pretty much maths. Again, something I'm not really that good at. So I found it really hard at the time. And then obviously with loads of other stuff going on around about the same time, I just didn't have the energy to do anything. And I just, that was when I eventually stopped going and told my teachers about it roughly, because you know, you've got to tell them like, I'm not gonna be in for the next few weeks. And then just sort of did my own thing. Meanwhile, I was always working, so I had a part-time job in town in Thorntons, and I was there for like 4 years. Again, from like the age of 16 to like 20. So I was just sort of, was mainly working there, and then I wasn't doing anything in the week because I only had like a 16-hour contract, something like that, like a couple of days. So I was literally just in a shop and then doing nothing at home. So I was like, oh, this is shit. Like, this is awful. But in the same sort of time period, I was getting really into makeup, and I was getting really into like that sort of artistry, and I really appreciated like all the looks you could make. I loved the like special effects makeup. I thought that was really cool. And I started to like really heavily get into it and started like collecting loads of things, which I don't use now. And I always think, what a waste of money. I wish like I could have shaken my old self and be like, save it. So at the same time where I just stopped doing the whole uni side of it and dropped out, I then started again just working and still doing up that like that hobby of doing makeup and stuff. And then I eventually went for a different job working for Benefit Cosmetics. And I was like, this is so cool. This is makeup job. Like, this is amazing. And because you think that if you like got a new job. And that was really great. And that was like a big step for me. And I was like, amazing. But again, still only 16 hours. So it was like I was barely working. The other times I was doing nothing, which was like pissing off everybody at home. Like, you're doing nothing, you're lazy. And, you know, because I still lived at home at the time. Because I had just turned, 2021, I think. I was still quite young. I think it must have been 19, 20 or something. I can't remember. So I started that. Realised that job was complete shit. Like, it was one of the worst jobs ever. Because it was, again, it was the same thing where the company don't really care about you. And, like, it was a sales job, essentially. And I was like, shit, I'm not good at sales. Like, I can't lie to people. And I can't, like... try and push something I don't believe in. Like, it just didn't gel with me as a person because I'm just naturally not like that with people. I'd rather be honest and be like, look, to be honest, this product's a bit shit. And like, if you look over there, it's going to be a lot better and a bit cheaper. And like, I'd rather be like that than be like, yeah, this is
going to solve all your needs. If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, yes, mate.
I think that's how I ended up getting like some sort of client base, because they knew that like they could trust me. Like, I'm going to tell you if it's good or not. Like, the professional primer is absolute shit. Please don't buy it. But then also, I need to hit target. So I was there for a little bit, and then I left and joined Urban Decay, where I'm still at now, but again, still that 2 days a week sort of thing. But I loved makeup so much, and I did like a shoot once, and I remember that same day I got a call from Salford, the day of this shoot that was in, I can't remember what it was, I think it was just outside of Manchester, and it was really cool. It was me and some other creatives, and we were all doing it like free, which was great because then no one had to like pay the photographer or anything like that. It was just like a portfolio piece, but it was so fun and I had so much fun. I was like, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. Yeah, this is it. Because when I make my mind upon something, I'm all for it. Like, I'm going to put everything I can into it. So I started doing that. I got a call the same day of that photo shoot from Salford asking if I wanted to, what's the word when you want to reapply? Yeah, reapply, mm. Like reassign myself for, because I got through, I passed that year, so I could have carried on, but I picked up the phone and was like, no, actually, please drop my application, because one, like, $9,000 a year is a lot, yeah. To not really know what you want to do. So I remember thinking, I'll save that if I ever want to do something with it. I've always got the option to, because I think you get 4 years funding, mm-hmm. So I'd already used one of them. I could carry on and do whatever if I wanted to. So I sort of like, yeah, cancel my application, I'm all good, thanks. So then I started doing that a bit more. Urban Decay was good because it opened more like artistic creative doors for me, but again, still a sales job. I don't know why I didn't think it'd be any different. It was exactly the same, but obviously better products and more stuff that, like, more ethics that I could believe in with the company. I found out that Benefit like tested on animals like the first week of my training, and I was like, oh, fuck's sake, this is shit. I don't want to work for a brand that's evil.
Well, like you said, with the sales side of it, if you don't believe in it and you...
Yeah, I can't do anything with it if I don't like what I'm, if I don't like it, like the actual product. So Urban was good for me and still is good for me now because it works with what I want to do, and it's still that solid income every month just in case, like I can't make rent or something. So then it was kind of like that transition where I started to realise this whole makeup gigs are probably not going to happen. How many MUAs are out there? And like I started thinking like statistically, it's just not going to, it's not going to happen because people keep having this, well, I don't know, like, same with anything. People have this image of how they want to be and like want to look despite the, again, the creative things. Like if I said to you that that's not going to work on your eye, be like, why not? Well, because you've got like a small lid, and this, the picture you're showing me right now, they've got quite, you know, like quite a large space between their eyes and their eyebrows, and there's so many, like so many technical things that people just wouldn't get. And I started hating it because I started thinking like, all I'm doing, it's not anything really artistic that I wanted to do, like editorial stuff. It was people's Saturday night makeup, and I kept thinking, this is the reality of it. I'm not going to be able to sort of do my own thing with it and have people trust me or whatever. So I started thinking like, for God's sake. But again, around about this time where I was starting to feel a bit more hopeless, I got my first tattoo, and it was a matching tattoo with my friend Meg. So thank you, Meg, if you're listening. Thank you very much. I got my first tattoo, and it's held up so nice considering it was like years ago. And I started to get more and more interested in that. And I kept thinking, like, this is so fucking cool. Like, this is so cool. I'm like, I love how, again, because you see pictures online and stuff, it's like the art, and then it turns into, like, you can see the process of some people's work and the way they all work. And I, like, started to think, oh, God, that's really good. That's really nice. And then I booked my first major tattoo that was, like, a little bit bigger than, like, a tiny little wrist matching tattoo. And I went down south to an artist called Rebecca Vincent, and she's based in London in a studio called Parliament Tattoo, and she is incredible. And she, to be honest, my experience there kind of was what finalized it for me. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I know for sure this is what I want to do, because she has made me so happy by doing this for me, like this piece of art. I absolutely loved it, and I thought, because again, it makes you feel good about yourself. It makes you feel so much better. And I don't think I could connect if I didn't, if there, that feel good factor wasn't there. And that was the good thing about makeup too, is that you made people feel good. So I can just about do that. Like, even though I started to really dislike it, I was like dead set, and I thought, yeah, that's it. That's what I want to do. I'm really happy. I know now. This is what I want to do. Because I'd sort of thought about it for a while, but then again, I had that same old, nah, you can't do it. There's, you know, there's
that
no
horrible
point.
Voice in the back of your head.
Yeah,
like,
which I
shit.
Have so
Give
often.
Up now.
Yeah, that you're a wank. Don't do it. So I actually started taking it seriously, and I started drawing so much. I started researching different styles. I started looking at like traditional Japanese, like more delicate dot work stuff, like mandalas. Like I started looking into everything, and I was like, this is a whole world of like endless knowledge that you'll never stop, you'll never be amazing at it ever in your life. Like obviously there's amazing tattooers out there, but you will never know everything.
Yeah,
because there's so much stuff. It's like a whole culture, and I was like, shit, I want to be in this world of like, because it just felt right to me, and I thought, this is amazing. Like I want to know everything about it, everything I can. I want to do everything. So I started drawing, and then again, the 2 days a week thing worked because I was drawing the rest of the time, because I had that sort of motivation to be like, yeah, do it. You can do it, you know, just keep going. And then I was looking into how to even apply for apprenticeships, because that's pretty difficult for a lot of people. Again, if you start researching it, you get a lot of the old ways, you know, the traditional ways of applying for an apprenticeship, and how some places will just tell you to fuck off, and you've got to like take that on the chin and like be like, okay, I'm gonna go back again then. I'm gonna go back and you'll never see the end of me, like you'll always see me again and all this. So I started going into a studio full of incredible artists in Warrington, and I'd go back every couple of weeks. But the way I approached it, I thought, I'm not gonna go in and be like, hey, got an apprenticeship, can I have it? Like, because again, that's quite rude, that's quite abrupt, you wouldn't go about it like that. So this is good for advice if anyone wants an apprenticeship as well. Like, the best way, and the way I would like to be approached as well, if anyone in the future would ever ask me, well, not that I would take anybody on now, but you want to go in and say to them, look, I love tattoos, I'm really interested in the craft and the artistry, I've put together a portfolio, could you please give me your opinion on it? And just be as harsh as you need to. Any constructive criticism would be perfect. Like, thank you so much for giving me your time. Like, you need to go in there, introduce yourself, which is what I did. And looking back, I think, whoa, I was ballsy doing that. Because, like, just come in and go, hi, I'm Zoe. Like, you know, start talking about it. And, like, I don't know if I could even do that now. Like, obviously, it's a bit different now that I'm in the industry. But at the time, I was, like, shitting myself. Like, oh, my God.
You have to put yourself out there, though, don't you? Otherwise, the rest of the events would never have happened.
I know, it's like a snowball effect thing. So I kept going to this shop. They would tell me different like things to work on, things to improve, like, but little things I hadn't even noticed. Like, Joan, you already always think, oh, I'm happy with that. That's I think that's good. I put that in my portfolio. Actually, no, it's not. Like, you didn't join this line up here. Like, how could you miss that detail out? And it's stuff like that that you need when you're designing tattoos for clients. So that helped me so much. And I would go back in every few weeks, every month or so, and just keep going in until they knew me. They knew me as a person. And then the manager of the shop said to me, do you know what? If you want, I'll tattoo one of your designs on you for free. And I was like, oh my fucking God, this is incredible. Oh my God. Then I was like, what am I going to do? What design do I do? Like, and then I started, like, I drew the same design, like, over and over and over, trying to make it better and be like, oh, what if I hate it? Like, oh, like, again, because it's that same self-doubt thing. Like, what if I draw something and I never want to see it again? Like, and I absolutely hate it. If I were to look at this every single day, like, what do I do? And, like, looking back on that, like, that was such an incredible thing that tattooer did for me. It was Dave at Studio 54 that did that for me. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Thank you very much, Dave. And he showed me the basic setup of like your station and stuff, and like he briefly taught me through like the needles and stuff like that. And I was sort of like just trying to look around and like learn everything I could, because I was like, I can't believe I've been let into this again, like into this place, and like I can see the way they're all doing it. And I was watching all the other artists whilst he was tattooing me, because you forget that it actually really hurts. So I was just like, again, I loved being in that world. I loved being part of it, and like even given the chance to observe and like watch and just see what people were doing. And I still am, to be honest. Every time I get tattooed, I'm like watching like a hawk, like, how are you doing that? Yeah, what setup are you using? Yeah. Like, I'm getting so into it, which, again, you never stop learning, because everyone does it differently. Everyone's got different techniques and stuff. So that was incredible. And I was like, at first I remember thinking to myself, God, what if I hate it? Oh my God, what if I hate it? And I still have it now. I absolutely, like, I love it, because I learned so many things from it. And like, that was my first step to like a big step for me to take, to actually see my artwork on skin. And I was like, that's insane that like it's there and it's in front of me. I can't believe it. And then some more stuff happened. In the end, I ended up going to a different studio because I noticed that like 54 had an apprentice already, and I was like, oh, probably not gonna hire me. Again, self-doubt and all that stuff. Like, they probably won't want me now. So by that point, I was so fed up and like upset. I was like, do you know what? I'm just gonna go in anywhere. I'm gonna go in, I don't even care where it is. I don't care if it's like the worst shop in the world. I'm gonna go absolutely everywhere and ask everybody. There was three shops I didn't go to, because I counted the other day in like Warrington Town Centre, there's something like 10 plus shops, which is insane for a town, like 10 studios,
very all, close proximity,
yeah,
to
in like
10
well. Less than 10 minutes away from each other, which is insane. So the last one I ended up at was the one that I eventually started working in, that my sister, it was in Callahan's Hairdressers in town, which is where I'm still based at the moment.
Is it downstairs?
Yeah,
that's
it's in
I
the
had
basement
my
bit.
First tattoo.
Yeah, well, it's always sort of been a studio. Was it Forever Inc. when you went?
It was about maybe 4 years ago. So I can't remember.
I would have said so then. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is insane. really good tattooers. They've moved to Bold Street now.
Okay.
And they're like a massive collective, and it's really nice. It's really good. So I remember thinking like, oh, cool, I'll go down here, because my little sister worked in the hair salon, literally the floor above me, the ground floor. So I was like, this is nice, it's close to home, like it's a good opportunity. But then obviously when you start working there, you start noticing things, and you know, you learn a lot just through like observing. And again, when I mentioned like that it wasn't really the best guy in the world, like I started knowing things, what not to do, and all this. And then eventually karma and life took its course, and he was sort of like given a notice to leave the building, which was great for me because I also met a really good friend of mine called Liam, and then we started up our little studio, and it was just us two, and we worked downstairs. We like, you know, refurbed downstairs, and we got painters in, and then we were thinking of names, we made the logo and all that stuff, and it was starting to like come to, and it was like, whoa, this is, we're making this. And so it was insane. This was only last year, like a year ago, because I remember thinking to myself, I got my license in August 2017, and this was end of Jan, Feb. So literally this time last year, we were like making this new
That's
name.
Amazing.
I know. So before like I knew it, again, I wasn't even a year into it, and I'd already sort of been doing my own thing, like, and having my own clients. And then that sort of opened the door to, okay, you are self-employed, like there's so much stuff to this, like it's not just, you know, waiting for people to come by, because who's gonna find us in that basement? Like, not many people are, which, you know, is a shame. There's not much walking trade there, but then it's all about advertising, and that brings in social media and stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to like push absolutely everything you do, and start making it into, I don't know, sort of like a almost, oh, what's the, like a portfolio for yourself.
Well, I always say that about Instagram, it being an online portfolio for you, but then obviously you've got that side of it where it's an online portfolio and you can just put your images up and leave it at that, and if people want to check you out, then that's what you show there. But then there's also the bad side of it that you can get absorbed by.
Yep.
If you get any likes on the photo, if people engage with it, if people even look at your page, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's this like vicious cycle of it, A, being a job that you have to do, like you said, to get clients, and B, not letting it destroy every bit of self-love that you have.
Yeah, that's it. Literally, it's the dark side of social media. I genuinely think it's a brilliant tool that we've been given, like, but it'll be our undoing. Like, I really pray for the generations that have grown up with this. Like, I'm lucky that I've just about missed it, like having that whole comparison, like that oh well, everyone's only going to post the best stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and same with work, like I'm going to post stuff that I'm really proud of, stuff that I want to do, that I want to push, because I want more people to come back to me for that sort of thing, rather than like maybe something else that someone wants to do. So that is like amazing. But then there's always, if you flip it on its head, that whole comparison and, oh, I'm not as good as this artist, or like, oh, how come I can't draw as good as that person? And but then
it's, do you find yourself doing that often?
Yeah, like all the time. I always used to measure progress a lot as well. It would really frustrate me that like I would look at apprentices, like loads of other apprentices, and be like, oh god, they're so much better than me. Oh god, I hate how like.
And how were you judging, in quotations, that they were better than you? Was it followers, likes, how much content they would post?
What both was... maybe, yeah, like, because you notice how busy they are and you think, oh my god, they're so much busier than me, like more people want their work, which again is amazing for these apprentices, but it just, you apply it to yourself and you think, oh fuck's sake. I would look at the following and I'd always think, oh, because it matters, it does matter. Like, as much as it shouldn't, it does, because the amount of exposure you get means more clients, means more appointments, means making your rent. So it does matter. As much as I wish it didn't, it does. I think the amount of likes and stuff you get maybe doesn't really matter, but then it's reach. It's how many people you are connecting with, or people that are noticing your work, which again makes the whole money thing. And like, your progress in your career, how far you can go. Like, maybe, because it's not just clients that are looking at your work, it's other tattooers, and then they're noticing, again, like, maybe your progress, if you're not doing as well as maybe statistically you should be, or, like, if you're doing really well, if you're not, like, if your style is, you know, developing in a good direction, or if you're standby for like months and months and you're not really improving. And it's also like relationships with other tattooers as well. I've noticed that Instagram has been like incredible for meeting other people, like other creatives, other tattooers.
100%.
And I love that side of it. I remember it was a few months ago, there was like a month where I was really happy with my work, and I noticed that loads of other creatives, like other tattooers that I really looked up to. So like, I always do like a little fangirl at home, like, oh my God, they like my work. They give it a like. But loads of other artists were interacting with me, and I thought, oh my God, this is incredible. And like loads of other artists were like replying back to like my stories and stuff. And like saying, oh, this is nice work, mate. This is decent. And you think it means so much coming from another artist that you look up to. It's like one of your idols saying, you know, you're smashing it, mate, well done. And you think, oh my God, I'm actually doing something right. Oh my God,
that's really nice that you're getting the support off other people in your industry as well, because
amazing.
It almost, not that it would be a negative thing if it came from somebody else, but it almost makes it more of a positive thing to have it come from somebody that's doing the same thing as you are in the same industry, because they know the techniques behind it.
Definitely,
you know how hard things are, and the whole side of it. So I bet that was really nice. It's lovely that people even message you saying that. Like, it doesn't, they don't, nobody has to do that, but to take a few minutes out of the day to recognize and message that person and say, you know, this is great.
Like, it's amazing. It's such a nice feeling, because you do think, oh my God, I'm doing something right. Like, this is like other artists are noticing that, and that's really cool. And like, it boosts you forward. It puts you up, and you feel great about like your artwork, and which you should do anyway. But then I think if you didn't, again, there's another side to beating yourself up about it. If you always thought you were great, you're never going to get any better. So you need to also stay humble with what you're doing. And like if I'm happy with a piece, I could like maybe in a few months' time look back on it and think, oh God, I could have done this better. But I can do that now. So like, do you know what I mean? Maybe sometimes there had to be those tattoos that you might have thought, oh, I could have done this differently, I could have done this a little bit better. You've always got that to grow from, which is really good. But yeah, from the social media side, I've seen like a lot of support, and I think that's so, so nice. And it's so like amazing that other artists are sort of maybe in the same boat almost, because then it like forms that relationship with other people and like that community feeling. So I do it to loads of other artists, especially apprentices. I always follow apprentices, and I always think to myself, do you know what, if like they need that little boost, they need that little push, like, keep going, you're doing really well, like you're doing really good, like those lines are clean, that's looking nice. I would never lie to somebody, but I always think to myself, if that makes them feel as good as what all the artists, like, if they like my pictures do, then I'm going to do it for them.
We need more people like you on Instagram.
Yeah, but they're the future. They are the future of this industry. And, like, we're all in the same sort of generation. So why would we not do that for each other?
100%.
There's a lot of ego in this industry, like, a lot of it. And I just think, again, we need to be bigging each other up.
And it's working together rather than against each other, and rather seeing each other as competitors, it's seeing each other as influencers and people that you can grow together and help each other. And that's how it definitely should be. And I think it massively is like that with a lot of creative people, which is really lovely. And I think that's the positive side to social media. Like, even I was mentioned before that some artists from Manchester had messaged me on Instagram about my work, and
which is
we
amazing.
Are now doing a shoot together, and it's like, you know, I don't know who this person is, they don't know who I am, but to be able to come together and both work on creative projects, it's like mutual beneficial.
Yeah, that's the brilliant side about social media, is that, like, again, with the same mindsets, the same sort of humbleness that we all have, we can all make something even better, and we can get better together and stuff, which is amazing. But then obviously we've always got that dark side of social media where, you know, you you hate yourself and you hate everything you're putting up, and like you think, oh, do I delete it? Is that good or is that shit? Or, oh, is this funny or is it not? Like, I don't. You start getting a bit stressed out about how you come across on social media, because even that could be the difference of someone booking in with you and someone not. Like,
Have you ever had like a negative side of social media coming from other people, or is it just the negative side of it is your own opinions of what you're putting out there and stuff? Like, have you ever had any negative backlash, like, you know, negative comments on your photos or that kind of side of thing, or is it kind of the negative come from within?
Not really. No one's ever commented on something saying like, this is shit or anything. I think I'd be mortified.
I'd cry if somebody said that to me.
Really? That's horrible. I've never had that. I've had like people close to me maybe questioning stuff, like, why have you done that for? Or why would you post that? And then I think, oh shit. Like, is this, should I delete it or what? Like, I remember I was going through probably some of the worst times mentally a few months ago, from like October to New Year, just gone. And I actually had to stop working because it affected me so much. But then it annoyed me because tattooing was something that always made me happy. So it's like, I can't even do the thing that makes me happiest. And I put out a little message, like, I didn't want to explain myself or anything like that. I just wanted to put a notice up saying, hey guys, I'm quitting social media for like a week. Can you, like, so if I don't reply back to you, please don't think I'm being rude. Mm. I just need some time. And like, sometimes you just need to disconnect yourself, and it helps you. Well, it can either help you or you learn from it again. It's going to do something. And I posted that. I didn't want to put any excuses, any reasons or anything, because again, I'd rather stay quite private in terms of my work account, and probably the same with my private socials as well. I don't really want to start talking about why I'm down or anything, like. So I did like a little update sort of thing, and the response I got was incredible, and it was really, really nice. It was mainly from, like, again, other creatives that were sort of like saying to me, oh, it's fine, I'm the same sometimes, you've just got to take your time, if you ever need anything, drop me a message. A lot of people had sort of like given me that little backup thing, had given me that little push, like, don't worry about it, you're doing, like, just do what makes you feel better about yourself. Or, and I was so happy at the amount, like, the response I got. I thought, this is so nice, again, from the other creatives.
That's when, like you said before, the community side of it comes together,
exactly.
Because everybody's actually looking out for you, and I bet you got messages off people that you've not necessarily even met before.
Yeah, it's all exactly. A lot
online.
Of people I haven't met. I feel like this is like stranger danger. Obviously not, you know, they're all really nice people, and you know, I'm not 12, so it's fine.
They've not got sweets in the back
pocket. No, yeah, like, see my car. Like, and people I've necessarily never met before, and it was such kindness, and I remember thinking, like, this is like overwhelming. And it just, like, it just made me feel like it was okay. And again, like, to do with this podcast, why I wanted to do it as well, it's breaking down the stigma. The amount of people that had said to me, I'm the exact same, just take time, like, I do the exact same, I need to take some time off socials because it is so pressing. Because you can get, like, you can get messages from clients from every single platform of social media. I've had it from everywhere. I get it from like Facebook, I get it from Instagram, Twitter, I get it all my personal accounts as well. So if you think about it, that's like times two every single profile that you need to check. And then emails, and like, it's everywhere. And sometimes it's so overwhelming if you don't like reply back straight away, and then you get like a bunch of question marks, and it's like, oh, for God's sake. Or if you don't reply back within the hour, oh, sorry, I've gone somewhere else now. And it's like, oh, fuck's sake. Like, I really needed to, like, make money this week so I can pay stuff off. So I've seen it from that really pressured side as well. Not just the like aspect, but the whole, I need to keep up my client base. I need to reply back to these people or else I'm going to lose them. Because that, again, that can be the difference between me, making rent and not. Like, being able to afford, like, my room, my space to even tattoo. And then, or being able to afford like living costs, and do you know what I mean? Everything.
And I feel like that must definitely build up, and you know, I bet it's sometimes this fight mentally in your head to not get yourself in a rut of just pushing it to the side and, mm-hmm. you know, I'll deal with that soon, or and then everything just getting too on top of you that it just becomes this explosion of, oh my God, I can't deal with this kind of thing.
To be like, honest, yeah, but like, it, again, tattooing makes me so happy and I'm so happy to be involved in this world. So when I was that bad, like I'd never been that bad before, like the fact that I couldn't bring myself to do it, I was like, shit, I need some help. Like, I'm really not okay right now. This is not cool. Like, I like panicked. I was like, oh my God, I can't even do the thing that I love doing, that I always rely on to bring me back up again from like having a bad day or whatever. But I think like a lot of my issues as well, I try and look as happy as I possibly can on social media as well. I try and look like I'm like either smashing it or like I'm doing really well or like I'm really, again, like what everybody does on social media. You want to put your best self forward always. And that was getting on top of me too, because I kept having comments here and there, which again were so nice. People saying like, you're doing really well, oh my God, your work, like, you know, you're putting yourself out there and that's so good. Because yeah, I am, because I keep thinking I don't want to miss an opportunity ever. But then also I'd think, good, because that's all I've got. Like, that's the only thing that I'm happy about. And you think I'm doing really well when I'm actually doing terribly. Like, I'm not doing good at all. So I'd always think to myself, like, oh, it's working. Like, you know, I'm pulling it off a little bit on social media. Like, they think I'm doing okay, when in reality, I am literally not even a person right now. Like, I'm really not doing good. But
I think that's it. That is almost the scary thing, though, isn't it? Because
it's so fake.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's...
You
it's
have
so hard,
like,
isn't it, to like even said, decide if you like it or not.
You have to do it as well. Like, it's something that, especially if it is your business and it's part of your business, it is something that you have to do if you want to progress. Mm-hmm. But I think it's easier said than done. To everybody knows that they put the best photos up, and like, you know, even on my, not my personal accounts, my other accounts, I'll always be posting stuff, and it does give off this impression sometimes that I'm doing loads of things, that like loads of shoots and all this kind of stuff, when then in reality I've probably had a day just in bed like searching through random photos and just like doing that. But I think it is hard to, even though you know that yourself, when you do feel down and you have that down day or that down week, or you know, you're not feeling positive, you can't just tell yourself, oh, come on, stop comparing yourself, or everybody else is doing the same thing, they're putting the best posts out, or like, that part of your mind doesn't accept that.
Yeah.
It's still this like self-sabotage thought process.
And because I constantly, I would think of mine as like, it's me being horrible about me. Like, why would I do that to myself? Like, why would you do that? And like, why would you assume this is what everyone thinks, or this is what certain people think about you, or they, do you know, like, why would you do that to yourself? Why would you be so mean to yourself?
You know, on average, every day, 70% of your thoughts are negative. Oh, and it's like, you have, we as humans have
that's nice.
I know, you have to train yourself to turn those negative thoughts into positive. And I think that's why, and like you said before, like, this podcast hopefully is gonna break down the stigmas behind not just necessarily mental health, is about feeling down and having those shit days, and you know, making yourself feel really shit about yourself for no apparent reason. Like, everybody does do it, and I think it's just that more of like the acceptance. And like you've said, you know, you posted on social media that you needed that break. It's so nice that you were able to do that, I think, and then get the support afterwards, or the odd message.
I was bigging it up so much in my head. I was like, like, am I going to be, like, attention-seeking for posting this? Am I going to be, like, maybe, is this detrimental to my business, to my career? Is this going to, like... Again, because you don't want to appear to be weak to anybody. Like, I always think I don't want to appear to be, like, hindered or scared or anything. I want to be... Like, I want to be better. Like, I want to be this version of myself where I do take every opportunity, and I'm going out there and I'm getting what I want, and I want to be that strong caricature of myself. But again, it's like admitting that it's real. Like, this is real. I am this person. And
I think,
like,
it's bravery.
I struggle
like,
as well.
It's bravery to admit that you're struggling, and it's bravery to go to your friends or go to your family or go to whoever and just saying, you know, I'm having a really down. Obviously, if you have a down day, quite often than not, you know, by the end of it, you can bring yourself out of it. But there's times in your life where you, them days turn into the weeks, and that's when it's like, look, I'm actually feeling pretty shit and I need some support. And even just sometimes saying that out loud, like, makes you feel better, because you know that you can say that to somebody, and everyone, and you know, the people around you hopefully are just like, that's fine, I will listen to whatever you need to say, and you know, you'll and then ultimately that kind of gets you out of it.
I suppose I don't really talk about my feelings that much. I am like probably a projection of like the olden days where you just get on with it and you just do it.
Right.
Like, okay. Regardless of how you feel, like, you just need to carry on. And like every time, like, I think that's why I'm so scared about talking about it. Like, I was terrified for this podcast. I was like, oh, what's she going to ask me? Like, she's going to ask me about why I'm so depressed or whatever. Because like you said, there are good days and bad days always. It's only when you find yourself in this funk that lasts like months that you need to do something about it. And that was when I started thinking, okay, I need to do something about this now, because I can feel it getting worse and worse. Again, even though I'm doing all these amazing things and, you know, typically doing well in, again, inverted commas, doing well. like, you just need to rein it in a little bit, I think, and just be a bit real with yourself and think, do you know what, it's normal, people ask for help these days. This is the generation we're in now where we can talk about things, and like, that's the way we need to be more. So like, when you approached me to do this, I was thinking, do you know what, as quite, I would think of myself as quite a closed book with it, if this is going to help somebody. And I've always put this out there as well, like on my work profile, if anyone needs any help or support, even though I probably don't really know what the right things to say are, sometimes it just helps talking about it to people.
100%.
I want to be an advocate for someone that people can come to, and like, that was what I thought with this. So I was like, okay, yeah, even though this is terrifying to me, I'm gonna do it, because if it helps even one person, then that's like the main goal from it. Like, that's what I would love for that, to help somebody. And do you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Even if it's another creative like me, because it's so hard.
I think that's the main thing from this that I would love to people to take from it, that it's not, you know, yeah, we're having a little natter about life and just chatting and seeing where the conversation goes, and you know, I've loved hearing about everything that you're doing, and I think everybody that listens to it will enjoy hearing about the process and the journey you've gone on.
Sort of a rambling girl.
But it's just about having a conversation with people that's a little bit more, you know, asking certain questions that make people think of things from a little bit more of a different perspective than they necessarily would about certain, you know, everyday life.
Like, yeah,
I think it is so important to every now and then have certain conversations that's a bit more,
a bit, like, more in depth than just, oh, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah. It's like when people say to ask people if they're okay, and but then sometimes you actually have to say, no, like, are you okay? Please don't give
like
me the
twice.
Response of, yeah, I'm fine, how are you?
Like, yeah.
It just, no, actually, let's have a conversation. How's your week been? You know, what's the positives that have come from it, what the negatives are coming from it, and not think that that's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah.
I think, again, with not necessarily the social media side of things, but the mobile phone side of things, because you can, like, quick text in, quick messages and all this, I think sometimes conversations are a bit too blasé and a bit quick and a bit got to have banter all the time, and, you know, that kind of side of it, rather than actually sitting down and talking about
things. I don't know, again, I'm probably the same. Like, I hate phone calls, and like, I don't know, I feel like I'm almost like a Pandora's box situation. Like, if you ask me, do you really want to know, do you want to know everything, because it's horrible. Like, do you really? So I am my own worst enemy with stuff. I don't really want to talk about it. Like, I hardly ever do, because I just think, how do you begin to even, like, tell somebody what the worst things that you think about yourself? How do you begin to tell someone you love that, like, your parents or your sisters or your brothers or whatever? Like, because how on earth are they going to understand how you feel? And it was that thought where I thought, like, yeah, if this is, again, if this process is going to help people, then I want to do it. But that was my mindset as well. Like, when I was in my lowest, I would always think, like, how do you begin to tell somebody how you feel? Like, 'cause it's so hard. Like, Okay, maybe it's my own social issues. Like, I don't know how to communicate my problems easily. But
I don't think we anybody do. Does. And especially, like, this is almost a scary thing that I think as generations are getting, you know, our generation, the younger generations, et cetera, et cetera, I think we need to have a big push to make sure that we do have these conversations and things, because I think it's getting harder and harder just because of, like, the social side of things and the way that society
I think everyone,
talks about it.
Yeah, everyone needs to adopt this whole, my life is great all the time. It's not, and that's okay. That's normal. Like, shit happens. And, like, so what's pulled me out of mine for this year? Again, the whole New Year, New Me thing definitely helped. It was like,
you know what?
2020 is my year, guys.
I love it, though. Everyone was like, oh, my God, too. Don't be so silly.
Like, wipe that slate clean. Like, you don't have to think about anything that happened last year.
2019 was just, like, a massive
question
year.
Mark.
Yeah, that is what.
It was personal development, okay? It was going through some things. But, like, I keep... The way that I am thinking now, which has helped me so much, is, like, I'm the only person that I have. And again, this helps me in terms of speaking to people as well, because I don't rely on anybody else. And I think the only person that's ever going to let me down is me. So why on earth would I be my own worst enemy? I keep trying to think of it like that. Like I am the only person I can count on.
That's a really
don't rely
empowering
on anybody else, because you are... You come into this world alone and you will leave this world alone. Like, again, maybe that sounds depressing, but, like,
no,
I
but
keep
it
thinking.
It's true, and that's
yeah,
the fact.
You are all you've got. Like, you need to look after yourself, and you need to, like, you need to apply yourself to different things. So, I, again, in the mindset of every opportunity that comes my way, I'm never going to say no, ever. Like, if I think, oh, that would be cool to do, I'm going to do it. Like, I remember applying for conventions and stuff, shitting myself completely because I'm doing them on my own, and, like, I am terrified of doing it on my own, but I also think, like, fuck it, if I've been accepted to work this, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna fucking do it, I'm gonna meet all these online friends I've made and, like, you know, make it real, and I'm gonna do everything I want to do, because why would I not? I've got nothing to lose, I've got absolutely nothing to lose in this world. Like, why would I not do everything I want to do? So you need to, like, think of it in a different way. And that's what's helped me so much. And I keep thinking as well, try and do one thing every month that you're looking forward to. So I'm doing, like, guest spots and stuff, which, again, something I am terrified of doing, because it's, like, presenting yourself to new people and, like, you know, your work, you're branching out a little bit and, like, you're taking big leaps and stuff. Well, I think they're, like, big leaps. And you're introducing yourself to other people. And again, you've got to be that level of, like, happy and funny and nice and blah, blah, blah. So that's, like, terrifying. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, like, right, okay, don't think of it like that. Just flip it on its head. You're meeting these new people that all care about the same things that you do, otherwise they wouldn't be here doing it. And they're just as passionate as you are, and they're just as, like, enthusiastic as you are. They probably have the same doubts that you have. And, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just need to snowball it from that. And then... we're all in this together. Like, it's the same people that have built this that you love. Like, this whole world that I absolutely adore being in. And I keep thinking to myself, like, as long as I've got that one thing every month, you don't know where anything's going to take you. So I remember last year, for example, we had a guest artist from Colorado. He was called Tobias. And again, shout out if you ever listen to this, mate. He was doing Dublin Tattoo Convention. He'd come over from the States, and we had been, again, online friends. Like, we were chatting back and forth, maybe, like, each other's pictures and stuff, and, like, giving that support out. And we'd always been like, yeah, if you ever want a guest here, mate, you know, you're always welcome. You're never thinking maybe he's going to take us up on it, and he did. And, like, so we're like, oh, shit, okay. Yeah, this guy's going to come to our shop. Oh,
happening.
My God, this is so exciting. But also, oh, my God, this is terrifying. What if it's not good enough? Or what if it's not, like, you know, you have that, like, self-doubt thing. But when he actually came, we became, like, really good friends from it. And, like, we were talking, again, about tattoos, about, like, how it is for him back home and, like, how it is for us and, like, all of our experiences. And it's so exciting to me to, like, hear other people's stories, and, like, because that's what it is, storytelling. Like, everyone's got their own, like, tales and stuff. But that led to, when he left, he went to Dublin, because he stayed with us for like Thursday till Tuesday or something, and then he left for Dublin on the Wednesday from Liverpool. And he was there, met his girlfriend, she flew over from Colorado, she's called Lindsay, she's another creative as well, who's also amazing, so if you're listening, hello. Hi Mom!
I'm on the radio!
I'm live! So she came over, and then we were like chatting, like, oh mate, like, because he inspired me so much, and I was like, shit, like, there's so much more to this than Warrington, there's so much more to this than like Manchester or Liverpool, there's a whole fucking world of it out there, and it's so different in every place you go. Again, similar to cultures, like similar to going to different countries, they have different like ways of life. It's the exact same with tattoo, and it's like different techniques everywhere you go, and like there's so much stuff to absorb. So I had so much fun like just hearing his stories and like how it is for him back home in Colorado and stuff. And then we was like chatting, I was like, mate, I wish I could see you in Dublin. And he went, why don't you come work it with me then? I was like, shit, why don't I come and work it with you then? And it ended up being like, so this was the week he flew on the Wednesday. The convention was the Friday after, like the week after. And I got the all clear to like work it, because I was like, oh, I'll see what happens. I'll apply for it. They'll probably say no, but like, you know, I'll apply for it and see what happens. They said yes, and I was like, holy shit, okay, this is actually gonna happen then, oh my god. And I paid the people for that, for my place. We ended up having like a double booth together, which was fucking insane. Like, it was so much fun. And then I had like 5 days to get like flights sorted, to get like hotels and stuff sorted. And I kept thinking like, again, oh, what if I can't do this? Or like, oh, because I've never actually traveled alone before. I've never, like, obviously I was meeting friends, but I've never been on an airplane without anybody I know before, ever. So that, I was like terrified. I was like, but you know, just fucking do it, it's half an hour. Like, it's fine. So I did all of that. And like, yeah, I messed up some things along the way. I had some, again, more stories from traveling alone. There was like this woman that had to be escorted off the plane by the police and stuff. And I was like, this would happen whilst I'm on my own, Jesus Christ. So like, I got so much more out of it. And then doing the actual convention with those two, like, I couldn't explain, like, it was so much fun. And I honestly think like, friends for life, just from doing that, just from
saying speaking yes to each
other,
well.
Yeah, speaking to each other from Instagram, yeah, you can come guess, yeah, let's work together. And I've organized to go and see him this year and like visit him and like and his and Lindsay and in America, so I'm really excited about that.
That's amazing.
I know, so it's like, again, all stuff that snowballed. I also met this like loads of other people at that convention, because it was very international. Like, a lot of, there was like artists from Colorado, not Colorado, sorry, like Chicago that was there. There was people from Brazil that were there. There were people from like Italy and Spain, and they'd all come to this convention. And it was so interesting meeting all these people and like chatting with them all. Because, and again, I kept thinking, I'm terrified how to present myself. But then I was like, wait a minute, no one here knows me. Like, no one here has a clue who I am. So I can be whatever I want to be to any of these people. And that helped me so much, because I was just like chatting to everybody. And then I remember Lindsay was like, you're so confident. I was like, I'm really not. I'm like crippled with fear, but they don't know me, so it's fine. They could forget about me. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're literally all working this weekend together with complete strangers. Like, no one here really knows each other unless you plan to meet up or whatever, like me and Tobias did. But it was so much fun. And like that, even that has snowballed. That was my first ever convention. It was international. And that's like, again, I'm going to claim that, even though like it's not, it's Dublin, it wasn't really international.
Whoa,
like,
whoa, whoa. It's
just
international.
About in the Euro, you know? But like, that was insane. I was like, do you know what? I've worked a fucking international convention. That is insane. So then when I applied for, so I'm working my first UK convention in March, and it's Tattoo Tea Party. And apparently that's a big one. And I've heard mixed reviews from other tattooers, and some people say, you know, it's a bit clicky, and some people say like, oh Jesus, you're brave for doing that, and I'm like, shit, am I? Like, I don't know what to do now, because Tobias isn't going to be there this time. But like, I'm just thinking, fuck it, like, no one knows me, so it's fine. Like, no one knows who I am, so I can be whatever I want to be and whoever I want to be, and, you know, present the best of myself to people. And like, I honestly think that conventions, are, it's great doing tattoos for people, but then I think, do you know what, the main thing for me is meeting other people, other artists, and, like, making those connections and, like, grow. Because, again, you don't know where that's going to go. It could snowball completely. Like, with Tobias, for example, I've always got him now, like, in America, always. And, like, I couldn't imagine, like, going to the US and not visiting him. I couldn't imagine that. And same with him. He'll always have someone in the UK that can help him out if he ever needs it, or if he ever wants to come over here and he needed, like, putting, like, chats together with the right people, or, like, certain people, whatever. We've always got each other now. Like, that's, like, friendship for life. Like, it's always going to be there.
That's so beautiful, so, that's come from Instagram, and that's come from,
I know,
putting yourself
from
out
the
there.
Evil social media. Like, we've made some, friends from it.
There are some positive sides.
Again, yeah, like, it's ups and downs all the time. So you've just got to take it as it is, and, again, rely on you, because you're the only person that's going to do anything for you. Like, you can't rely on other people. As much as it's nice to, you just can't. You've got to rely on yourself and, like, believe in yourself and do everything for you. And you know what I mean? You can't wait around for other people to do things for you, or to, like, sort of hand it to you on a plate. And I think that's what I've learned from my whole process of tattooing, because I've not really had anybody to help me. Like, you've got to do it yourself. You've got to find this information yourself. You've got to ask people. You've got to be the assertive one here.
Nobody else is going to hand
exactly,
hold you the whole way.
What do you have to lose?
You.
You've got nothing to lose. So do it.
I love that. And at the end of the day, you can't get rid of yourself. So
well, there you
got a buddy like
stuck
it.
Here.
I could honestly, I could listen and chat to you all day, and it's been really lovely. And I think it's been positive, uplifting things that have come from it. But then also the normal side of it as well, that we do get down and we do have to sometimes, you know, take breaks from different aspects of our life that we recognise are potentially not good for us at a certain point. And no, thank you very much for chatting.
Thank you for inviting me on the show.
I'm gonna ask
had
you,
such a good time.
I'm going to ask you one last thing, because this is something that I do, I say daily, potentially as often as mm-hmm. I can, but every morning I'll write down the three things that I'm grateful for. And I think that's something that's, like, helped me. If I am having a bit of a shit day, I'm like, no, come on, I've got to still write them. I've got to try and think positively. So I try and do that. So what are your three things you're grateful for today?
Oh, God. God, you've really put me on a halt.
Honestly, it could be anything. It could even be the, I don't know, one of mine today is probably going to be that I ate some watermelon and I've not done that in a long time.
Oh, that's really good. I made a perfect poached egg today.
See, there's your first one.
That was, you know, amazing for me.
It's a hard task to do that, so that's definitely up there.
It's really weird method as well. I don't, like, I just plonk the egg in. It definitely works, so... To do this is insane. I'm incredibly grateful for you to give me this opportunity to put my sixth sense in on a few things, if anybody cares, you know. I am grateful for... I'm going to go deep and say, like, I'm grateful for, like, me. Like...
I love that.
That was, like, cheesy, wasn't it?
But, no, like, I love that.
I'm grateful for the new... thought process that I have, and that I am, again, the only thing that I've got. So I'm grateful that I'm always going to be there for myself.
That's beautiful, and that's the perfect way to end the podcast. Thank you so much. It's been so lovely.
Oh, thank you. Cheers.
Bye.